wear that up there preaching? And I said, yeah, I will. She was right. It's good to see everybody out this morning and welcome you all here and those that are joining us on Facebook. I hope you all have had a good week and know how much I appreciate you guys and your service. It's wonderful that through the highs and the lows that we go through, that we not only have Jesus by our side, but that we have one another by our sides. Even when we can't see each other physically, we know that we have brothers and sisters that are walking through life with us. These last few years now have been different and difficult at times and challenging at times, but it has been wonderful to know and to be reminded every Sunday morning by the people gathered in this room, and to know that there are also others that are gathered watching this service online that are breaking the bread and sharing the cup and being reminded about who we are and being reminded that we're not only Jesus people, but that together we are family. I think a relationship with the church is one of the things that makes patience possible, makes long-suffering, makes enduring possible. And that's what we've been talking about this month, being okay when things aren't okay. And we've used that word a lot this month, and I probably should have started with this story, but I'm going to end the series with this story. So where do we get the word okay from, or what does okay mean? I don't know about you. You guys may know the history of the word okay, but if you don't, you should spell it out. You should not spell okay out. It should always be an abbreviation, because okay is a weird word, because back in the 1830s or so, there was sort of a weird trend going on. If you thought that Gen X's or millennials did strange things to the language, it really isn't anything new. Because again, back in the 1830s, there was a group of people, and I assume they were trying to be funny, but they would make these abbreviations to words. So they would abbreviate things, but they would often misspell the abbreviations just to be funny. So one of them things was no use, as in no use of trying. They would abbreviate that KY, you know, no use. Hilarious, right? So, you know, if that wouldn't work, no go, NG or KG, that's a little bit better. Or enough said, they would do NS. And so, of course, it would make sense that okay would be all correct. OLLKORR, maybe ECT, a little bit of disparaging there on that. But that's where the word okay comes from. And then there was a presidential campaign that grabbed hold of that word, and they used it, and then it sort of just worked its way into the way that we talk, and now the word okay is a word. But what does it mean when we say something is okay, or when we okay something? We even use it as a verb. We okay something. We sign off on it. We're satisfied with that. It's met our expectations. So when we sign off on something, or we say we're okay with something, we're saying we're satisfied with that thing, or we're okay with it. It's all correct, right? That's part of patience as well, isn't it? It's a lot easier to be patient if we know what to expect. It's a lot easier to endure, to be steadfast, to keep going if we know what to expect. When you're on a long road trip, if something goes wrong, it's easier to keep going if you kind of expected something like that might happen. But when things happen that surprise us, things that happen that we're not okay with, that rattle us and shock us, it's a lot harder to keep going. And I think that's why really the last 2 years now have been so difficult. It's because we didn't, and we still really don't know what to expect. And when life, we say that sometimes, don't we? When life happens, when surprises happen, when things happen that we weren't expecting to happen, that make it harder to keep going and to press on, it makes it harder to endure. It makes it harder to be patient. But it's a lot easier to be patient when we kind of know what to expect. So when we talk about being okay when things aren't being okay, it's good to stop and say, if I'm not okay when things aren't going okay, if I were to keep going and press on and things are still bad, then what was I really expecting things to be like? When we're tempted to give up and throw in the towel and we're tempted to take the gloves off and say, no more Mr. Nice Guy, it's a good time to stop and ask, why am I losing my patience? Why am I tempted to not endure? Why am I tempted to not be steadfast? What was I expecting? What was I expecting this relationship to be like? What was I expecting people to be like? What was I expecting the world to be like? What was I expecting life to be like? What was I expecting discipleship to be like? What was I expecting this to be like? Because again, it's a whole lot easier to be patient when you know what to expect, but it's harder to be patient when you don't. So when you're constantly being surprised, it's harder to be patient. So this morning, we're going to talk about Paul's relationship with Timothy, his young preaching protege. And Paul is preparing Timothy to be patient, to endure, to be steadfast, to keep on spreading the good news, even though it's going to be difficult. He was telling Timothy, here's what you need to expect. But because for Paul, he knew for Timothy to persevere, to be patient, he was going to need to know what to expect. We need to also stop and ask ourselves that, don't we? When we are losing our patience, maybe in our marriage or maybe with our kids or with our brothers and sisters in Christ or people that we work with, maybe with our culture, maybe with just life in general, when we're losing our patience, we need to stop and ask ourselves, what was I expecting this to be like? Maybe it's just a case that we need to adjust our expectations accordingly. So here's what Paul has to say to Timothy about what he should expect and how he should go on ministering after Paul's time with him is finished. 2 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 23. 2 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 23. And this is always a tough passage. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know they breed quarrels. This is good evidence that social media didn't invent foolish, ignorant controversies. That they've been around for at least 2,000 years. There have always been foolish, ignorant controversies. And that's not to say that every controversy, every debate is ignorant or foolish. That's not true. We know that's not true. There are some controversies, some debates that are important, that need to be had. And there are other debates and other controversies that don't need to be had, that they need to be avoided, that Paul tells Timothy have nothing to do with those kinds of debates, have nothing to do with those kinds of controversies. Why? Because they only breed quarrels. Well, when foolish and ignorant get married, they have a baby, and it's called quarreling. And all this fighting and debating that is endless and pointless, it comes from foolish, ignorant controversies. And I don't know about you, but this hits me right between the eyes. I may be the king of foolish, ignorant controversies. How many times have we engaged in a fight that went nowhere? It goes round and round, and it's pointless. And Paul says, if you're going to persevere, if you're going to do the kind of work an evangelist, and this applies to not just preachers and teachers and missionaries, but to every Christian who wants to make a difference, this is relevant to each and every one of us, have nothing to do with these kind of controversies. Sometimes the debate that we need to be having, the discussions that we need to be having, the controversies we need to be engaged in get derailed by foolish, ignorant controversies. We're having a good discussion, a good debate, and somebody steps in with a foolish, ignorant debate, and then we turn and we engage in that debate instead of having the real discussion we should be having. We need to learn how to say no. We don't have to attend every fight we're invited to. We don't have to attend every conversation that we're invited to. Some conversations don't need to be had. We need to avoid them, and we need to say, no thanks, I'm going to pass on that. One of my favorite memes, I thought about putting it up on the board, but I thought better. But one of my favorite memes is a guy furiously typing on a keyboard, and there's a speech bubble coming from the other room. And his wife is asking, dear, aren't you going to come to bed? And he says, no, there's somebody still wrong on the internet. I have to fight them. I have to let them know how wrong they are. And Paul says, no, you don't. Long before social media, Paul says you don't have to attend every controversy, every debate, every fight you're invited to. In fact, you will do better and go farther and persevere longer if you avoid these ignorant, foolish controversies. Verse 24 says, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach patiently, enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, and be after being captured by him to do his will. Not only does he tell them to be kind to everyone and to patiently endure evil, but I want us to notice what he's saying about his opponents, because he says some of your opponents may be corrected. That's good to know. In fact, that goes to our expectations. If you expect somebody is wrong, that they will always be wrong, if you expect somebody's doing evil, that they will always be doing evil, if somebody's on the other side than you are, that they will always be on the other side, that there's never going to be any changing of their minds, if you assume that and you expect that, you will not treat them with kindness. You will not treat them with gentleness. Will you? I mean, you've already started this dehumanizing process. You will expect them to always be what you think they will be like. They will always be your opponent. They will always be on the other side. And they will always be wrong. You don't expect that maybe, perhaps they might change their minds. And Paul tells Timothy that may happen. So treat them with kindness and gentleness. Who? Everybody. What if they're wrong? What if we're wrong? What if they change their minds? What if they come around? What if God grants them repentance? So stop assuming that everyone's out to get us. Stop assuming that everybody is always on the other side. Stop assuming that the wrong people will always be wrong. Some of them are going to change their minds. And guess what? Some of them won't. But that's between them and God, right? What's up to you is whether or not you will treat them with kindness and gentleness. Everyone, kindness, gentleness, patiently enduring evil. Paul knows that Timothy is going to go farther and go longer. He's going to be able to persevere for a long period of time and do the right thing, even when it's a hard thing, for a long period of time when he has these kinds of expectations. Some people are going to come around and change their minds, and Timothy is going to persevere better if he doesn't expect everyone to agree with him all of the time. Some people are going to be your opponents. Some people are not going to agree with you. Some people are not going to see things the way you see things, but here's how we respond to that. Be kind, be gentle, patiently endure. Have conversations kindly and gently, patiently. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good. Stop right there and just acknowledge what he says in the last days. When's that? Everything between the ascension of Christ and the return of Christ. So Paul lived in the last days. Timothy lived in the last days. You live in the last days. Everything in between the ascension of Christ and the return of Christ is the last days. And Paul wants Timothy to be prepared that this is what it's going to be like in those last days. There's going to be people like this. And why is that important for patience and long-suffering? Because you need to understand that not everybody is going to agree with you. Not everybody's going to see things the way you do. Not everybody is going to be right. Not everybody is going to be good. That there is going to be, and we need to expect there to be, people like this. Some people will be lovers of self. Some people will be lovers of money. Some people will be proud. Some will be arrogant. Don't be shocked. Don't be surprised. Sometimes we get so surprised when the world acts like the world. Sometimes we get so shocked that people don't agree with us. Sometimes we get so shocked when people don't see things the way Christians see things. Where did we get that surprise? Maybe it's because we didn't temper our expectations based on what Scripture actually teaches us life will be like in these last days. This is what it's going to be like. It doesn't mean that everybody's out to get you. It doesn't mean that everybody hates you or that everybody's on the other side and is the enemy, but it does mean that there are some people that are on the other side, that there are going to be some people that love money more than they love you. They are going to love themselves more than they love you. They're going to be arrogant and they're going to be abusive, and that's going to happen. So don't be shocked. It's going to be a whole lot easier to persevere, to be patient, if you expect that some people are going to be like this. Verse 4 says, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Some of these people are even going to be religious people, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. And then look at that last sentence, avoid such people. It's interesting, Paul doesn't say stop such people. Make it your goal to stop these people. Get rid of all these people. He says avoid such people. Just like he said at the beginning about foolish, ignorant controversies, sometimes you just do need to avoid such people and expect that there are going to be such people. It's going to take discernment to know, when do I engage in this debate? When do I engage in a controversy? When do I engage in a conversation? And when do I avoid it? And guess what? I've super failed in this discernment. I think we've all messed that up. We've all engaged when we should not have, and we've avoided when we should have engaged. I think we've done it wrong. But Paul is telling Timothy to form expectations that help him and help us form our expectations. There are going to be times when you need to avoid such people and conversations and controversies that you need to just step away from. And again, remember that we know that God is still in charge of the world, and things are still going to go according to God's will and plan, and there are still going to be some people who agree with you, and some people who change their minds, and some people who never do. We need to expect that's the way things will go. Some people will say, you know what, I've been thinking about this whole Jesus thing you've been talking about, and I want to be a Christian and follow Jesus well. Some people will say, I'm still thinking about it, I'm not sure. And some people are going to say, absolutely not. And they are going to stick to their guns and they will never come around. But guess what you should do? Be gentle, be kind. Don't be shocked. Don't be surprised. Some people are going to accept the way of Jesus and some people aren't. And if we're going to allow that truth to form our expectations, then we can be a whole lot more patient with the people that we interact with. Verse 6 says, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sin and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. He says there are some women and some men, not every woman is this way and not every man is this way, but there are some people who are especially susceptible to lies, who are burdened with sin and led astray by various passions, who are always curious to learn but never actually come to a knowledge of the truth. That they're always, and then there are always going to be some creeps who creep in and lead them astray. These kinds of things are going to happen. And don't you know that Paul is trying to save Timothy from profound disappointment and discouragement? Because as a minister, I can tell you when people are led astray by lies, it hurts deeply. When I don't have a couple of words or sentences that can rhyme and drag you back, that it needs a little bit longer than a meme to explain, it hurts deeply to see people led away by lies. But these kinds of things are going to happen when people are led astray like that. And it would be disappointing for Timothy as well, but Paul is telling him to expect this kind of thing to happen. It's not good. And it's not okay, it's not all right. You don't have to like it, but expect that this sort of thing is going to happen. You will persevere longer if you do. Verse 8 says, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith, but they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as that was of those two men. He says that these false teachers are just like Jannes and Jambres, and those are the names of Pharaoh's magicians that tried to fool Moses, who imitated the miracles that Moses performed, who fooled Pharaoh and his court. But Paul's saying that there are going to be people like this in your time as well. But he also says they won't get very far. And I think that should bring some calming assurance. What if we realize that there are going to be people who spread lies, and there are going to be people who believe those lies? There are going to be deceivers, and there are going to be deceived people. There are going to be people that deceive themselves, but you don't need to worry about it. Why? Because they won't get very far. Imagine how much better our life can be, how much longer we can persevere when we realize, guess what? They won't get very far. A calm assurance that Timothy could have to say, I expected this sort of thing to happen. I expected there to be false teachers, and I expected people to fall for the lies. I expected that, and I also expect that God's will continue to be done. I also expect that they won't get very far. I also expect that the truth will be revealed. I also expect that those people will be revealed for what they are. And I don't have to lose my cool. And I don't have to be on a roller coaster of ups and downs and freaking out every time something doesn't go the way that I think that it should go, because I expected things like this to happen. Wouldn't our lives be a whole lot more calmer if we embrace that part of our expectation? Verse 10 says, you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. He says, you know everything I've been through, Timothy. You've seen it all. You know what I've persevered, how patient I am, how I've put up with all kinds of stuff, and I haven't lost my cool, and I haven't given up, and I haven't thrown in my towel, because I expected things like this to happen. Paul had been whipped 39 times. He had received that 5 times. 5 times he had been whipped 39 times. 3 times he had been beaten with rods. He had been stoned nearly to death, in prison countless times, beaten countless times, was persecuted by both the Jewish authorities and the Roman authorities. He was persecuted even by those who claimed to be brothers in Christ. He had gotten it from every side you can imagine, and yet he pressed on. And yet he persevered, and he said, the Lord rescued me from all of it. Eventually, his persecutors would take his head. His persecutors would put him to death, but the Lord would even rescue him from that and will raise him from that. Verse 12 says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Again, it doesn't mean that everybody will deceive us. It doesn't mean that everybody's out to get us. It doesn't mean that every time you turn around, you're going to be persecuted. It doesn't mean that we have to expect everyone to be mean and cruel and evil, but it does mean that we should expect that sort of thing could happen from time to time. Every single follower of Jesus, every single Christian has to expect that I'm going to have to live with and deal with and interact with people who don't see things the way that I do. In fact, I need to expect that there are going to be people that even hate me because of the things that I believe in Jesus. And then that way that I'm not shocked when they do. I'm not surprised, again, because I expected this. Paul wants Timothy to understand that every single one of God's people needs to expect from time to time this is going to happen. But it doesn't mean that to expect everybody is out to get us. And again, if you expect everybody is out to get you, if you expect every person is going to persecute you and persecution is behind every bush, you're never going to love people and teach people and expect that sometimes people are going to come around. They are going to see the truth. So expect that that's going to happen sometimes, but don't expect it every time. Look at verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which were able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And that's really the theme that we have this year. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Continue in what you've learned and heard and believed. Continue to be firmly convinced of these things. Persevere. Keep going. Be long-suffering. Don't be surprised when these kinds of things happen. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. If you want to keep going and you want to persevere, keep your eyes on Jesus and let the story of scripture, let every word of scripture that has the breath of God in it form you and train you and shape you and equip you to be the man of God that God wants you to be. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Be saturated with scripture and expect that these sorts of things are going to happen. It's no different than what was for Timothy. Paul wanted Timothy to have his expectations properly shaped so he would know what to expect. To finish it up, I would put it this way. If we're going to be long-suffering, then we're going to have to expect that God will be faithful for the people and for people that are going to be unpredictable. And that's not just a negative thing. It's a positive and a negative thing. Expect God to be who he is and to do what he said he's going to do, to keep his promises. He is going to deliver his people. If you expect God to be faithful, you will never be disappointed. But you also need to expect that people are going to be unpredictable. And that's not always bad. Don't expect them to be bad. Sometimes they're going to surprise you. Sometimes people will do wonderful things. Even unbelievers, people who disagree with you about Jesus, they are going to do amazing, loving, kind, wonderful things. And it's going to surprise you about just how great and wonderful people can be. But it might also surprise you that sometimes how mean and cruel and evil people can be. People can be unpredictable. But guess what? We're a people too, and we have been unpredictable. And guess what? You have, and I have. We have both done wonderful and horrible things. And we are only saved because God is faithful. So going forward, that is what we have to expect. That God is faithful and people are going to be unpredictable. If we expect some people to be unpredictable and some people to be kind and some people to be mean, then we are going to be neither surprised or disappointed with either occasion. And if we expect God will be faithful, then we will never be disappointed. But if you always expect that people are out to get you, that there's a threat behind every corner, then you won't love people the way that Jesus calls you to love them. If you expect people to always hate and persecute you, then you're going to avoid everybody. You won't love anyone. You will never give anyone the benefit of the doubt. And if you expect that someone will agree with you and see things the way that you do, you're going to be disappointed there too. If we have, or we need to expect people to be unpredictable, just as we've been unpredictable in the past, and if we've understood that this is the way that life is going to be, that God is going to be faithful. Some people are going to make good decisions. Some people are going to make bad decisions. Some will love us. Some will even hate us. If we have our expectations properly shaped, then we can persevere. We can be patient. This is the life that we signed up for when we decided to become disciples. But it can get discouraging at times. And sometimes, even when we let our expectations be shaped by Scripture, sometimes we still find ourselves surprised, and we have to remind and encourage one another. That's part of what we are doing this morning as well. So if we can encourage you or pray for you, as we're all trying to be patient, if we can encourage you or pray for you or help you put Christ on in baptism, now would be an opportune time to come as together we stand and we sing.